Oh, you do airbrushing as well?
Yeah.
Rob's thinking of getting into that.
It's actually fairly cheap now to get into. Like, my wife got me a compressor and, like, three generic, you know, not top of the line, but okay to start with and learn with airbrushes. So I've since mastered those, and I've moved on to a much more expensive airbrush. So I haven't actually busted it out yet, so that's one of my goals this week, to hook that up and get spraying with that thing.
Cool. It's been so cold, I haven't had a chance to even try my gun yet.
Well, I spray inside now.
Do you? You're like, I don't care about the brain damage.
Yeah, well, you know. I've been around.
Yeah, I've already got all the brain damage I need.
Welcome to the Dead Zone Podcast. Dead Zone is the sci-fi tabletop miniature skirmish game from Mantic Games. And now, here are your hosts, Rob Harper and Jack Fike. I am your announcer, William Randolph Wintergreen.
Welcome to this special edition of Dead Zone the Podcast, episode 32.5, and this one's all community pet. It's an extra long chop shop. We'll talk about Adepticon and the new Kickstarter. And as always, you can check us out at deadzonegame.podbean.com to see all the pictures, or you can go to our new YouTube channel, youtube.com/c/deadzonethepodcast, for the video version. And now on to the episode.
And now, the Chop Shop with Community Pat.
Welcome to another episode of Dead Zone the Podcast, a special episode, 32.5, and this one's all about Community Pat. And we have Jack and I, and Community Pat's here. Say hi, everybody.
How you guys doing?
Hey, everyone.
So we're just going to go over the Adepticon and the Kickstarter from Community Pat's point of view, and we'll see how he saw everything. And it's good to have you here, Pat.
Well, it's good to be back. It's been a while and since I've been on, but it has been a while since I saw you guys last.
Yeah, it's only been like a week, 2 weeks, week and a half.
But you guys kind of snuck out like ninjas on Sunday.
Yeah, we had to get going. It was a long drive home.
But thanks to your directions, we got home through without paying such exorbitant tolls, and the trip was much quicker. It was a nicer drive.
If you don't go through the city, you're much happier. You just take that one detour.
Yeah. The traffic was pretty light on the way home, but we made it. Nobody fell asleep while driving. Much.
Well, welcome to Chicago, then, I guess, is what it is. And Illinois tolls.
Yeah. So we had a great time at AdeptCon, but how was it for you? You were there a lot longer, and you had a lot more to do.
It was very, very intense this year. We had a lot of things going on, as you guys saw. You guys came a little bit late, but we had a lot of events going on. It was busy. It was great. It was great to see the hobby exploding for us. You know, we had a fairly good, decent-sized booth. Again, we had events running almost all day and most of the nights. You wanted to go over some of those then?
Sure.
All right, so I guess we'll talk Thursday. We'll just go down the week for the weekend. Thursday, we had our annual Clash of Kings tournament, the national championship that we hold. We had 18 people show up for that, which is spectacular for Kings of War in the United States because it's still growing. We're still trying to get people into the game. More and more people are starting to jump on board with it, you know, especially after the version 2 Kickstarter with the new rules coming out.
Yeah, we backed that one, so we're definitely going to jump on with 2 just to play some fantasy.
Sure, and then you can play in the Clash of Kings.
Yeah, I doubt that. We are not good players.
That's right. It's all, you know, the good thing about our tournament so far and is that it's still fun while competitive. You know, people are there mainly to have fun and then play in a decently competitive environment.
Yeah, that's what we heard. Mostly everybody who played in at least the Dead Zone tournament just said it was a lot of fun and no arguments, no trouble. It was just like a bunch of guys just playing it out.
So one thing I love about the Kings of War right now is that we've held the Clash of Kings now for what? 4 years. In that first year that we held the Clash of Kings, we only had 4 entrants.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, 4 years later, we've grown exponentially, so now we're 18. So, you know, I'm hoping next year, you know, we get to 24, 25, 26, you know?
Yeah, the Kickstarter should be out by then, right? So
yeah, it should be done by next year.
That'll get a lot of people, I'm sure.
I think it should start by shipping by July to the Kickstarter backers.
Yeah, so.
How big do you think you could, keeping in mind time and the space, how many participants do you think you could house if Schoenberg was, again, where the Adepticon was?
In that space, we could definitely hold 100 easy.
A tournament with 100 people?
Yeah.
Wow.
That'd be pretty impressive.
I mean, yeah. I'm not saying next year it'll be 100, but.
Yeah. Well, even if it's like 30, say, that'd be nice.
Yeah, I mean, I think we planned for 24.
Yeah, that'd be good.
And we got 18, so I think, 24, it can easily be held.
Like I say, with that second Kickstarter, tons of people are going to be getting armies, so they'll want to play.
Yeah, I hope so. I'm excited. I would love to see that Kings of War is starting to get bigger and bigger.
Yeah, and people are realizing that it's so much quicker to play than Warhammer Fantasy, and like a lot easier. So it's you don't have to spend the whole weekend playing a game. That's true.
It goes so much faster. I mean, like we held 4 games in 8 hours.
Yeah, where that would be one game for Fantasy.
Yeah. I mean, like, the Fantasy tournament at Adepticon goes over 2 days.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's your whole weekend just playing Fantasy.
So, so I'm glad to see that. What else? Thursday, did we do anything Thursday night? I think Thursday night was just kind of a relaxed night. So then Friday came around, and then Friday was the Dreadball tournament. Also very huge turnout, had 20 people at the Dreadball tournament.
Nice.
It also had the first winner of the new Blaine trophies.
Yeah, they're quite nice, the gold.
Yep, and I got to stay in Chicago, which I'm quite happy. if anyone wants to see, to go back also, this year we started videotaping the number one table.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, because it's a new camera and we're still learning about it, we underestimated the battery life. So for Kings of War, we only were able to record the first game. So those are online on the Mantic blog if anyone wants to watch the game. We were able to record all of the Dreadball games, though, on the number one table because I was able to set the camera up next to a plug.
Nice.
So those are, I just put those up. I just finished editing all those, and I just put those up on the Mantic blog also. And it's fun to watch those guys. You get to see different teams played, how people are playing them.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting if you want to get into the game to see it being played, to get an idea of how it is. And
so, and like I said, it was a learning experience, so we're going to definitely step it up. And I already see room for improvement in the way we're doing things. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's a learning curve, that's for sure.
And then Friday, you guys showed up. We chatted for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Friday night saw us at the Geek Nation Tours Industry Night. Joining us was Cool Mini and Wild West Exodus.
And there's a video of that up there, too. I saw Ronnie talking at that.
Yeah, Ronnie did a little presentation for the Geek Nation Tour participants, one of them being Mr. Tremblay. So, yeah, I put that video up. That was the presentation for the Geek Nation Tour guys, so that was fun. Then Saturday rolled around, and we had our first annual Dead Zone tournament.
Yeah, we got to see that one.
That one was a very big surprise for me, I'll be honest with you. I had set that up thinking, let's get something for Dead Zone. We have these three great systems that we have going on. We have Kings of War, Dead Zone, Dreadball. Let's get Dead Zone out there. Let's give something for our customers, our fans of Dead Zone, for them to do. Scenarios are somewhat limiting because, it's kind of a two-player game.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get more players, it starts to kind of bog down, in my opinion, which is not a bad thing. It just makes for a long day.
Yeah, it wouldn't be good for a tournament. It's not quick enough.
Yeah, so I thought maybe we just do a tournament. People get to play more than one game. They get to play with many different people,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of one of the good things I like about Adepticon. You get to play people, and as you start to go more, you start to see the same people again. You become friends online. You get to see each other maybe once a year and get to chit-chat. And so it's kind of a fun thing. So I thought I'd set that up as a tournament. We put together 8 tables worth of terrain in a couple days, and I painted that up in a week.
Yeah, it looked good.
Yeah, I'm glad. I was worried. I was not going to have enough time to get that all painted. But the big surprise for me is that we had 14 participants show up for that.
Yeah, it was pretty cool, all the people that were there. And we saw a lot of interesting armies there.
Yeah, of course, no Asterians, no Rebels.
I'm amazed there's no Asterians, but I could understand the Rebels.
Yeah.
And we had the somebody made up their sphere team.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was Lee Montgomery.
Yeah, that was pretty interesting.
He made a sphere team out of and used them as enforcers.
Yeah. Yeah, that's neat that you allowed that. That's pretty cool.
Sure. I mean, you know, I mean, as long as you're using the enforcer, I guess, rules, you know.
And they're all Mantic models, so.
So, yeah. So it was great. A good turnout. You know, I expected 8. We had 14.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone had a good time. Coach from Family Gamers won that.
Yeah, yeah.
JP took Best Tactician. He was our person to win the most of core missions.
Yep.
JP was playing Plague.
Oh, and, yeah.
The coach was playing Forgefathers.
Oh, really?
Eric Newell, who got, I think he got the most kills. Was he the most kills? Eric Newell, also from the Family Gamers group. He was playing Rogers, though.
He
I think he took the most kills.
Yep. It's neat to see all the guys having fun there.
So, what were your impressions of the tournament?
Well, from what we saw, it looked like I said, everybody was having, it didn't look like a tournament. It looked like just guys hanging out and playing, because there was no, like, animosity. There was usually, you know, you go around the other tables, you could tell people were, you know, getting angry or rules discussions and stuff like that. It just looked like people having fun.
No one had their rule book list in their hands?
No. Like, there was a few times people were like, oh, I'm not sure how this works, and then they just ask and they would be explained, and it was like, okay. Like, it was pretty relaxed. It was nice to see.
That's good. That's good. I'm glad that you know, I was only able to come in and out occasionally. Guy Soden, one of my Pathfinders, was running a good tournament there, so I kind of just left him to his own devices.
That's good.
So that was what, Saturday day. Then Saturday night, of course, was the big finale with our first annual Mantic Open Night. We get Ronnie to stay just a bit longer. You know, we bumped up the time. I got Ronnie there at the right time he needed to be there. And we were able to get a good 35, 40 minutes out of him of Q&A.
Yeah, it was great to have Ronnie there. And we were expecting him not to be there, so it was pretty cool.
Yeah, so, you know, when Friday night we were out to dinner at the Geek Nations, and we and Ronnie were talking about what time he needed to be at the airport. And I said, well, what time's your flight? And he goes, well, this. I go, well, shoot, Ronnie. You know, why don't we bump up open night? You don't need to be at the airport till this time. It was like 8:30, because his flight wasn't leaving until like 9:45, on a Saturday, no less. And O'Hare's not that busy on a Saturday. That we were able to get him to stay, and then he just left right from open night straight to the airport.
Yeah, yeah. It was only like 10-minute drive or something like that, you said?
Oh, yeah. It's definitely like a 10-minute drive that time of night.
Yeah, that's cool. So, we got to talk to him. He gave us some impressions of what was going on.
Yeah, he answered a lot of people's questions. And then there was a lot of game playing after that, you know? There was a lot of Dead Zone. We had some the James Gulick scenario. We had the zombie scenario. We had the Mars Attack Easter scenario set up with the Easter Bunny.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he was shooting AP eggs.
And you obviously had the Mech Zone, which we played.
Yes, Johnny P's own Mech Zone, which was fun. I didn't get a chance to play, but it looked like there was a mass free-for-all.
Yeah, there may have been too many players, but it still worked out good.
You know, I think me and JP talked about it again afterwards. I think it was the fact that there was too much terrain.
Mm, it's too hard to kill people, too much cover.
Mm. Yeah.
That makes sense.
So
we Rob and I had discussed that perhaps the games were a little longer than would have been nice to have some time to mingle with everyone else. Like, we were there for 6 hours and it didn't feel that long, but also it'd have been nice to have like play a game, but then also, you know, chit chat, mingle, move around, get a beverage.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if we do this again, we're definitely going to probably make it go a little bit longer. It's all, you know, it comes down to cost. You know, the hotel is very stringent about food and drink bringing in from the outside.
Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Do we hold it at the convention center then, or do we find a room at the hotel, you know, or a hotel close by?
Yeah, just something separate.
Yeah, and so, you know, so there's a lot of things that we and Joe need to have to discuss and figure out what to move forward. But definitely, you know, I mean, we want the Mantic Open Night to be a place where you can come play games. We also want people in the Mantic community to meet other people in the Mantic community and hang out and just chit-chat, you know?
Yeah, for sure. That's what you want, just to meet all these people that you either talk to online, or there's a lot of interesting people I'm sure we didn't even get to meet.
Yeah, you get to meet them on Facebook and all that other things. So,
Plus, we wanted to check out the King's of War and stuff like that. And we just never got a chance. We were playing.
Oh, yeah, you're playing the Mech. So, yeah, and Mike's Mega Battle was huge. There's like, what, four players a side going on right now? So that was about 8,000 points.
Wow.
Forces of good versus forces of evil. And looking at the scoreboard before the night ended, it looks like the forces of good routed the forces of evil like 4-1.
It looked pretty one-sided.
It's the way it should be.
Exactly.
And at the Mantic booth, we noticed that it was looked pretty rocking there. It was pretty busy, and you had a lot of sellouts. How'd that go?
Terrain was the star of this convention. We could not keep the battle zones on the shelves. We did such a great deal with the Adepticon Mega Deal and Super Mega Deal. Those came about from us donating a bunch of terrain to Adepticon for their 40K tournament tables.
Yeah, it was like every table had that on it, for sure.
Yeah, so if you went to one of the 40K tables and you looked where the Mantic Dead Zone or Battle Zone terrain was, the amount of terrain that they were able to put on those tables was what we put in the box.
Oh, that's cool. So it's exactly what they're getting here.
Yeah, so you don't have to make those exact buildings, but that's roughly what you would get in that box, and that was like $150. And that covered a 6x4 table very nicely.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool.
So, and the Mega Deal was like $80, and that's a 2x4 table, you know, half that.
Yep, that's terrain is, for the price, you're getting a lot out of it. A lot of, you could do a bunch of different stuff, so.
I think having them on the table helped a lot, because a lot of people would be like, well, what is this?
Mm-hmm.
So, well, this is the table. If you want to see what you're getting, what it looks like, I would send them over to the 40K tables, and they would come back, okay, I want that box, I want that.
That's good. That's exactly what you did it for, right?
Yeah, so it was great.
And
everyone loves terrain, I guess.
That's for sure. Well, look at the Terrainaholic and Terrain Tutor did great jobs on the Dead Zone and Mars Attacks for the booth, too. Those were pretty amazing.
Yeah, they did the Terrainaholic did a great mobile kind of landing pad surrounded by zombies. And then the Terrain Tutor did a really wonderful job of making us a White House to show off our Mars Attacks models.
You got to figure out how to make that into a box so you can sell with Mars Attacks.
Yeah. Figure out how to make it out of a Battle Zone tiles.
Yeah, it was neat. Yeah, both were. The Terrainaholics one, it was huge. Like, you can't tell the scale even in the pictures. You can see the minis on it, but you don't get the real scale. It was like, I don't know how long, but it was a good 4 feet long or something.
It was about 3 feet long, about 2 foot wide.
Yeah, it was huge. And tall, too.
Yeah, it was 15 tiles. The actual landing pad itself was 15 tiles. But the buildings that surrounded it also were, a little bit bigger.
Yeah, it was pretty nice. So, yeah, that was pretty much all the Mantic stuff for Adepticon. Was there anything else that caught your eye at the event? Did you get a chance to look around at other things?
Didn't get a chance a whole lot to get around, you know, because most of my time was walking between the games, the booth, to the events upstairs, things like that. But I did get to spend some time with the Reaper guys. I just heard you guys talk about the Reaper paints that Jack bought, and I think those things were my favorite buy of the convention. Getting the HD1 and HD2 packs, you get a really nice case with all those great paints in them. You know, anytime you can get a yellow to cover over black in one pass, yeah, you sold me.
Once I decided, made the decision to buy the paints, the HD1, HD2 with the little cases, I had no choice at that point. And I've since put all my washes in the one case, all my paints in the other, but, yeah, and it was $100.
Yeah, and you get almost a whole line. I guess you're not getting whites and blacks, right? And then some metallics. But
metallics, yeah. But other than that, it had...
Already, so.
It had like four different varieties of gray. Like there was... You had more than enough by just that purchasing one of each of those. You were... I think I'll have more paint than I'll know what to do with for quite some time.
Yeah, you definitely get a good, and the way Reaper does, there's a good base shade line with the four different paints.
Yeah, so it gives you a nice selection right off the bat. No need to mix paints anymore, Jack. You actually can just like grab a different dropper for each one.
Well, I've already taken them out for a spin, and I've been highly impressed by the way they work. I'm gonna have to tweak my techniques a little bit. Instead of doing the dry brushing, it seems like they want to do like a wet blending more so, but once I get the hang of them, then hopefully we'll have some Kickstarter booty from this new Dead Zone Kickstarter to really showcase.
Yep.
I did go buy the secret weapon stuff. I did buy their washes because their washes are pretty spectacular.
Yep, I bought some of their washes too. Yep. Jack already has all their washes, so.
Yeah, I bought the $80 set that gets you all the washes.
Yeah, that's what you got, right, Jack?
Yes, that's what I got. But a couple years ago.
Yeah.
I wasn't gonna spend. I wasn't gonna get the paints and the washes at one time. That's just too much for me. My poor wallet would weep.
That was a strain in your wallet.
It would have been too much.
There would have been a screaming, and Jack would just fallen on the ground and cried.
That's right.
I think he lucked out, though, and a friend of mine gifted me the pigment line, so I have all those, too, now. So.
Oh, cool. Yeah, you were looking at that, too, right, Jack?
I was talking to the young lady there, and I almost picked up the Rust Effect pigment.
Oh, the Rust Effect pigment's great.
I was very close, but I wasn't there for pigment. I was there to get some paint, and that was it.
And, yeah, we need to go longer next year, that's for sure, if we do get to go next year. We'll see how the monetary situation is, but one day wasn't enough.
You got a year to plan.
Yeah, year to save. Start saving our pennies.
Well, you know, here's what, you know, I've been to a convention, pretty much one convention a year, pretty much since I started gaming. Even when I wasn't financially stable. You know, I picked one.
Yeah.
And I saved up for it for the year, you know?
Yep. It was worth it, that's for sure. And
con is a good con to pick, you know? It depends on what you're into. Some people, if you're more into role-playing games, then I would say maybe make Gen Con your one con. But if you like miniature games, then you definitely have to make Adepticon your con.
Yeah, we have a friend who goes to Gen Con every year, so that's another one that was a possibility, that's for sure.
It's a good one, but again, it's not as miniature-focused as Adepticon.
And it's just so much bigger, like, you kind of get lost in it, right?
Yeah, it's way more overwhelming than
Adepticon,
is that's for sure.
Yeah, I thought this was perfect. Like, they say the new, that new Renaissance, whatever it was, the hotel there, the convention center, it was just big enough that it didn't feel crowded at all in there.
That is true. I mean, because the where they had it before, it was really cramped. Like, the aisle spaces between the booths were about half the size they were now.
Oh, that would have been tight, yeah.
Yeah.
Because Friday night when we were walking around, it wasn't that bad. Saturday in like midday, it got far more crowded. It was starting to get shoulder to shoulder in spots, in and around the booths. I don't know... I don't know how much more they could have fit in there and still had it feel comfortable.
Yeah, well, think about what you saw there and then put that in about maybe half the size.
That's pretty crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, so it must be nice for you guys. You guys got some breathing room, too.
It was breathing room, because we had the same booth space that we had last year, 20 by 20, and it was cramped.
Yeah, at least you had some space around that, too, where, like, in front of your booth, between you and was it Drop Zone Commander across the way?
Yeah.
You had a nice little area there that people could stand around and talk. And
yeah, I loved it. You can get there, stretch your legs, talk with the customers and not be in the way inside the booth.
Yeah, not blocking the shelves or anything.
Yeah, so it was a good time.
So if it is in Schoenberg next year, do you have any big plans that you're thinking of already?
No.
No, you just don't want to think about it yet?
I'm in decompression mode. Actually, what I've shifted my focus now to is getting the new Dreadball circuit up and announced, and then right after that, I'm gonna move right into Gen Con mode.
Yeah. That's in August or late July? What is that?
Yeah, late July.
Yeah. Yep, that's another big one for you guys.
Yeah. So, you know, once I'm done with a con, it's kind of, I decompress from it.
I'm sure it's overwhelming, that's for sure.
Yeah. So, but, there will be big things. I don't know what yet. with this Dreadball circuit, hopefully that will be one of the big things next year.
Yeah, they were talking about the, international championship kind of thing.
Yeah, and I think we might run that, like, on a Saturday. Find out who the North American champion is the Friday.
No, and then bringing the European, and then that'd be big.
So, you still need to work out the logistics with Ronnie.
Yeah.
They've announced, England has already announced their, their regional Dreadball schedule. I'm still putting ours together. It should be soon. I think the first one will probably is in D.C.
Oh, yeah?
That'll be in April.
Nice.
I'm hoping to make that announcement by end of this week.
Yeah, it's Dreadball is definitely the one that I think would appeal most to the masses. It's such a niche that hasn't been filled recently. So
yeah, it's a fun game, and you know, like again, it's more and more people are liking it. We had around the same amount of entrants this year in the Adepticore Cup tournament as we did last year, but the difference was that they were almost all new players.
Oh yeah, that's good.
You know, like Adam came down. We had some people come down from Quebec. We had a lot of people. Like I start talking to Joe, the guy who won fan favorite. I remember selling him his Dreadball set last year at Adepticon.
Oh, that's great. They came back for more.
Yeah, so I'm glad to see it, you know. Hopefully we'll see you guys there next year.
Yeah, maybe we'll get some extreme and get out of an extreme tournament.
Well, yeah, and that's one of the things I'm looking at, again, for Gen Con, is to have an underground Night 4 Dreadball Extreme, maybe.
Yeah, like play it up like it's the...
Yeah, you know, you got to have the card. You got to get the card at the booth somehow. You got to ask password. I'll leak the password online somehow. I don't want to make it too complicated because I don't want people...
Yeah. Not be able to come, but...
Yeah, but something like that. But the logistic of trying to get a room at night.
Yeah.
To stick with the flavor of the game, but and still... Yeah, that would be neat to do.
I think it would be fun, you know? You got to show up like around, you know, when the sun goes down. You got to know the password to get in.
Or a secret knock, or answer a question to get in.
Or have the card with, like, that needs black light. It's got a black light symbol.
Nice. Yep.
So...
That's pretty cool.
Got a lot of plans, but I got to work out the logistics. You know, what is feasible as far as what I can pull off at Gen Con.
Yeah, such a big place. I'm sure the space is limited there.
So, yeah, or do we get one, a small room in the hotel?
Yeah, just something big enough to people to play in.
Yeah, so, you know, things to consider. It'll be fun.
Yeah, well, we hope to make it to Adepticon next year, that's for sure. I have to, like I say, save some pennies, but we had a good time.
That's good to hear.
So I think we'll take a short break here, we'll come back, and we'll talk about the Kickstarter.
You have been listening to the Dead Zone Podcast with your hosts Jack Fike and Rob Harper. The Dead Zone Podcast is dedicated to Dead Zone, the tabletop miniature game by Mantic Games. Visit them at manticgames.com.
Hey, this is Pat, North American Community Manager from Mantic Games, and you are listening to Dead Zone, the podcast.
And we're back. We are back with myself, Rob, and Pat, and we're going to talk about the new Kickstarter.
Yep, it's Infestation, and we talked about it on our last podcast a lot from our point of view, but how's it feeling from your point of view, Pat? How's it going?
It's going very good. You know, we're... unlocking stress goals left and right like always happens with Mantic Kickstarters. So much so that now we're getting two jet bikes, I've noticed.
Yeah, that's great. Two? Well, two free, but I'm going to be getting quite a few more.
Well, yeah, you get two free, but then I'm sure people are going to buy, like, a squad.
Yeah, for sure. Going to have at least 10 bikes.
As soon as those 3D sculpts popped out, all I heard was race, race, race.
Yeah, they definitely look like speeders.
I already have an idea for, I'm not going to let that go. I think I might have let it slip to you, Rob.
Yeah.
That, but I'm going to keep that in for a little bit.
Yeah, it's cool stuff. But, that is not the least of it. Even since our last podcast, you've already released more stuff. And that was only like a couple days ago.
Yeah. I have to go back and figure out what it is, you know, where are we at now?
You got that, Viramin heavy gun with the, that leader with his, like, binocular kind of thing going on there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's neat.
That big giant thing, what is it, the Hemichem thrower.
Yep.
The shredder was upgraded already.
Yep, and the beast, the Fearman beast was just announced. It's already been unlocked, I think, now.
Yeah, the Night Terror?
Yeah, that thing's pretty impressive.
Yeah, that thing looks pretty bad.
And then we got some new ones just today, the Plague Beast and the... Kalishi, like the Dreadball team, right?
The true Asterians.
Yep, they're looking great. And that Plague Beast, Jack, you might have to break out your greens one more time for that thing.
Well, I can see that the deficit of the Plague faction has been addressed. What the Plague really did need was a big hulking creature, possibly slow, and used only a fight stat line. So, yeah, now it's a well-rounded faction and competitive.
Well, I think this thing's going to be faster since it's on all fours, but he's pretty cool looking.
Almost looks like a stage one on fours, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he's pretty awesome. But, yeah, they're moving forward. And is there any other factions getting some stuff, you think?
Well, I don't know if the Pathfinders are going to get more stuff. There's talk, you know, Ronnie did let slip at open night that if we do go far enough, there might be enough to start another faction, but that's under wraps, not to be said.
Yeah.
Except we're on a podcast right now, so it has been said now.
Well, he hasn't said what it is. It could be anything.
Oh
yeah, not to be named, I should say.
And and is there any other things you see coming down the pipeline, like more stuff? Is there anything you know that we don't know?
At this point, no.
No, it's one of those things where they just keep pulling stuff out, and you're like just as interested as we are.
Yeah, well, you know what it is? Chris Palmer, when these Kickstarters go off, he's the guy that runs these things. When these things go off, then he gets locked into a room. Not allowed to leave till all the stretch goals are met.
Nice.
Well, so he's sequestered someplace, and you just slide some food under the door, and...
That's what I was told by Ronnie. Like, once the Kickstarter's done, all the stretch goals have been met, he does give Chris carte blanche to release what he wishes, but as long as they're all released.
No, that's neat. Yeah, so they just even them out so that get the ball rolling all the time.
Yeah, so I'm not in direct contact with Chris in the office, so I don't know what's coming down the pipeline as far as stretch goals are coming.
Yeah, but it's been doing well. It's at 228,000 right now, and still got 5 days left, and I'm feeling it's gonna jump up, especially with these new things they keep showing off. Those that plague beast really got a lot of people's attention.
Yeah, definitely. Wasn't there another thing?
Well, that Khaleesi girl and that the big gun were the ones right now. That's the current stretch goals.
Yeah. I'll tell you what I'm really excited for about this Kickstarter is these giant pipes.
Yeah, to make more interesting terrain, yeah.
Yeah, and the mesh grates or walkways.
Yeah, variety, that's what this is for sure adding to it all.
Yeah, I'm very excited for those things.
And we do like the Mars-like mat, too. It's neat to have a different mat.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll come turn into a mouse pad mat at some point.
Yeah, as part of a thing. Well, you can already buy them as mouse pad mats. So $20 for a mouse pad mat is definitely worth it after seeing the mats in the first Kickstarter.
Oh yeah,
we kind of regret not getting more that time. So it's good to get more mats.
Yeah, it would have been nice to have two. And I suppose if you're going to get them, you could buy them in odd numbers, but to spread out the game a bit more.
Yeah, two or having four. Those.
Yeah, four definitely adds a lot of space. I mean, you guys played the Mech Zone on the four format game.
Yeah, it was pretty huge. You could have played quite a big armies on that, or more people, I guess, more different factions, multiplayer games, because there's a lot of room, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's much roomier than people expect.
Well, even at the beginning, just say the 2x2 there was just like, okay, it can't be that big, but it's more than enough room to play a good game on.
I agree. I think we've been so used to doing 6x4s.
That yeah, I couldn't imagine playing Dead Zone on such a big table.
No, right?
It'd feel weird, that's for sure.
But this Kickstarter is going great. You know, I think people are going to like these new plastic Pathfinders. You know, you can do so many conversions with them.
Oh, they look awesome. I'm excited about those for sure. And not to mention all the add-ons. You're already adding on all the original Kickstarter, which is like such a great deal.
Oh, with the four factions?
You get the starter back or the all the different factions for $100. Like, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Oh, you get and Contagion Brogol, which gives you the Incursion, Contagion, and Nexus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And more terrain too, and it's just I can see this jumping up a lot in the next couple of days.
Yeah, I think as it starts to wind down, because there's always a rush in the beginning and a rush at the end, and then there's always kind of a small lull in the middle.
Mm-hmm. Like, I think a lot of people just wait until the very end, see what they're getting, and then they put their money in.
Yeah, that's what I would do.
Yeah. Not to mention, Mantic's great for you back a dollar, and then you get into the pledge manager, and then by that time you can put in whatever you want.
Yes, and then you can bump yourself up to the sweet buy-in,
mm-hmm.
which is 115, if people are following again. You can just recap that. You get the Dead Zone hardback with that. You get the Infestation Mission Pack. Five Enforcer Pathfinders. You're going to get these dog drones, which look pretty cool. Does that one drone have a burst laser?
Yeah, I think so. It's the big one.
Yeah. So then you're going to have a blaze away platform.
Yeah.
What else? Two jet bikes, two Enforcer jet bikes, which look awesome.
Yeah.
10 Vermilion night crawlers. You're getting the bonus Vermilion night crawlers.
Yeah, so you get 15 of them. That's
15. And then two Vermilion shredders. And then you can add a free booster, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. You can get, the thing is, they're all so good, it's hard to choose.
And then not to mention you're getting all the battle zone terrains.
Yep. And then you get that free Blaine and a free Piper. Blaine on a speeder
his jet bike looks pretty cool too. It's all blades.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. It's like the Enforcer one, but just like meaner.
Yeah. It's like he doesn't even need to shoot you. He's just going to run you over with it.
Well, there's got to be, hopefully they put rules in for that. Rules for hitting people with the jet bikes.
That would be kind of cool. It'd be like that, of course, right?
We can, we'll make our own rules if they don't make them, so. Yeah, so this Kickstarter is definitely, looking good. For a small Kickstarter, they all kept saying it's gonna be a small one. I think it's gonna take off a bit more than being small.
Well, I think by small, I think they mean in time. Only 3 weeks?
Yeah, it was pretty short, yeah, for sure.
So.
Yeah.
Just enough to get a new faction out, so I think I'd like to see the rats. I would love to see the rats in a Warpath type of deal too.
Yeah, more of them. And I wasn't totally sold on the rats, but the more they put out, the more I'm like, these guys are pretty cool looking.
Yeah, they look pretty.
I think Jack likes the gas masks, right, Jack?
Well, I think we mentioned in the last podcast that they're not necessarily rat men. It's in so much as they're a subterranean vermin, like they're definitely rodents, but some of them have like a mole-like look to them. Some of them are, it's not just rat men. They're like a subterranean creature, and, how they look, different. They match the rest of the, universe, but they do stand out. And I think we'll have fun. I can see them taking off as fan favorites.
Yeah. You know, they cover the whole rodent kind of feel.
And that's something that is missing from 40K, too. They don't have space rats anymore, do they?
And they never had, actually.
Yeah, they just have it for fantasy?
Skaven was only for fantasy.
Hey, I don't know. That's a weird choice, eh? Not to. You'd think it would be easy for them to do that, but.
Well, now, come third edition of 40K is when they kind of homogenized all the forces.
Yeah.
They got rid of the squats, space dwarves.
Oh, yeah, they got rid of those, too, yeah.
And it was all either Marines, Orcs, Eldar, or Chaos.
And it's good that you're filling in the void of with people who, you know, they want to have something different. They get bored with displaying those same big powered armor guys. Enforcers look totally different, and now you get Ratmen and, like, say, Space Dwarves. And obviously the Astarians are nothing like the Eldar. Like, they're definitely, with their whole cipher thing, that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, the whole melding with a robot kind of thing.
Yeah, it's I think it's definitely taking a turn from just being a generic space game. Definitely getting its own personality now.
People like to compare Dead Zone and Necromunda, but it's kind of got its own. It's got its own story, you know. It's got its own flavor, you know. It's, you know, Enforcers are not Marines.
Yep.
Marauders are not Orcs.
Well, that's the thing. If you look into the background, they're totally different. It's just not even close. Like, this is more, I think Dead Zone's much more realistic and much more, you could see this happening in the future where corporations just take over and rule the galaxy.
Yeah. I mean, I think we're halfway there, right?
Yeah. We're just not in space yet.
Exactly.
But yeah. Yeah. So I think the more people see Dead Zone, I think the more that they're going to get into it. And it's just the range is expanding nicely.
Yeah. And you know, once we get these new tiles up, and on tables, I think it'll capture more people. I think one of the coolest things I saw was when I was walking up to the Dead Zone tournament was people stopping and looking at the terrain, because the terrain turned out fairly nice for the Dead Zone tournament.
Mm-hmm.
The way we built it, you know, you had at least one three-building, level three.
Mm-hmm. A little tower, yeah.
Yeah, that wasn't on either side. it would be kind of put it in the middle, so you'd have to fight for it if you really wanted to get up there.
And the good thing is, in the Dead Zone tournament, the terrain looked like Dead Zone terrain, but then in the 40K stuff, the way it was designed, it was showed how universal it is and how you could adapt it for anything.
Yeah.
So it was totally different. Like, they were using the angles differently and putting it on bases just like 40K terrain. And yeah, it's that's another thing. Like people should be backing this Kickstarter just for the terrain package. What is it, $100 for, like, a whole quadrant of scenery? Yeah, it's pretty amazing to get that much stuff.
Yeah, you'll probably get almost that much in the Kickstarter.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So, is there anything else you have to say about the Kickstarter there, Pat?
No, you know, just jump in.
Yes, back it.
Don't be afraid. If anything, jump in for those jet bikes.
Yeah, well, I did, that's for sure. So I can't wait to see what comes next.
Yeah, me too.
And, yeah, any other questions, Jack?
No, I haven't even looked at the Kickstarter. I'll be honest. It's not my deal. I know Rob's got that covered. he sends me little tidbits. Like tonight, I'm at work, and he sent me the pictures of the Plague Beast and the New Asterion, and I okay, he's doing his job.
Yeah, I keep you abreast of the important things.
Yeah, when it gets down to the wire, like you said, there's 8 days left.
No, there's only 5 days left now.
Oh, 5 days left. So in another couple days, depending on how high it goes and how many people jump on, I'll be interested in seeing what's there. And then we'll have to make some hard choices about how much money I might have to pony up.
Yeah, we'll see what's going on. There's a lot of selection that site so far. So if they add a new faction, that's when it gets dangerous.
Yeah, definitely.
Right, and now it's reasonable.
And that's never going to happen, because obviously that has never been said here or any other place that was a possibility. So let's just all not discuss that at all.
Well, it's been said. Actually, I mean, like, Ronnie let it go at the Q&A.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yes, he did.
And
that's Ronnie, you know.
And he also said that hopefully we get this will lead into later this year getting a Warpath Kickstarter, which that'll be another big one.
I think the big news out of that Q&A is that one of the guys that's got a hold of a copy that Ronnie played can't stop playing the version of Warpath, so that's good to know.
Yeah, totally different version, new, updated. Because a lot of people had a problem with the original one. It's a little too much like Kings of War, right? And they wanted a little variety for it.
I think so, yeah.
And the way he's talking, it's almost like they're going to kind of blend Dead Zone right into it, where you can just keep building your armies bigger and bigger. And like I think one of the new updates mentioned that, where they're just like, yeah, it's just a stepping stone now.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the reasons why Dead Zone came about, was to flesh out the world, flesh out the factions, flesh out the armies. So then once every army has a backstory, you know where it's coming from, what they're all about, then it's real easy to start adding bigger and more units.
Well, just from these two Kickstarters, we're going to have more than enough for a few armies.
Yeah, I mean, just the four.
Yeah, like Jack, I don't know how many Plague you have now, Jack, but it's definitely enough for an army.
I don't know how it translates to Warpath, but if it was as simple as saying, okay, 70 points is the squad-based Dead Zone, and then say 120, 140, 40 is a small army for Warpath. I think most people who got on the first bandwagon, the first Kickstarter, would probably be able to get close to that.
Oh, easily. I'm with my enforcers, since they cost so much more. I probably have 500 points of enforcers.
So, like, if it is, like, I broke it down as simple as just the points and everything just scaled, but if it was anything close to that, you could, a gateway drug of Dead Zone. Hey, it's a board game. Look, you don't even need to paint your guys. It's on a grid, little buildings. Isn't that nice? And then as soon as they got the hook in the cheek. Oh, and by the way, you can also then make a massive army and then have tabletop, like go from the grid to the tabletop.
Yep. Just start measuring and it's all good.
Yeah. And then, you know, we're this close to having vehicles. I mean,
well, we have jet bikes and all the mechs and artillery pieces now, so.
Yeah, it's just a matter of time now to add treads.
It's one step, yep.
And this Kickstarter, 5 more days, maybe. Maybe a troop transport, some sort of APC or something.
A dropship, because they have to drop onto the planet. You need a Pathfinder dropship. That's what I'm demanding. That's Warpath for sure. I can't wait for that kind of stuff. Yeah. Well, we saw at the Mantic Open Day last year, we saw some concepts of that kind of stuff. So
that'd be cool.
It's definitely down the pipe somewhere.
So, yeah, it's exciting times. I mean, this is going to be a big year.
Yeah, it's only, what, the third year that Dead Zone's been around? So it's
Dead Zone's only been around a year.
Has it been that short? It seems like so much longer.
It came out last year, I think, at Adepticon.
I guess so. We got it last November, I guess. Not this year, the year before. Wow. Yeah. Yeah, so it's just entering its second year.
Yeah, so and Dead Zone has kind of come a long way.
Yeah, so.
It just is worth the time. You know, tournaments, tournament play, we're talking giant, big scenery sets.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's the sky's the limit for this. And it's good to get on the ground floor.
Definitely.
So, yeah, back to Kickstarter, people. We want more stretch goals.
Yeah, more stretch goals. You want more free stuff.
That's right. Or at least stuff we can buy as add-ons.
Yeah, that's true.
Because Mantic knows how to part me with my money.
Certainly does.
They're experts at that.
It's true. Well, you know, when you listen to what your customers are saying.
Well, it's just the price point. Is like, you can't deny that what you're getting for the price is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, there's no, like, for, once again, go back to 40K, you could barely get a book for the price you're getting all this stuff. Like, the books are $100.
Well, yeah.
So.
Hardback books, or the, your Forge World books.
Yeah, like I think the new set with the three books in it was $130 or something like that.
Ugh.
You get, like, 50 miniatures and a hardback book. And the scenery. Like, that's without even scenery for that, so. It's not even comparison. Like, that's what separates Dead Zone, well, Mantic in general, from most other miniature companies. It's the quality for the price. It's definitely, they found the perfect balance.
That's good. And, you know, hopefully we keep that ball rolling.
Yeah, for sure. And, so it's been great talking to you, Pat.
Yes, it was great to be on again.
Yeah, we'll have a special episode here we'll put out as soon as possible, so get people to back this. And, hopefully we'll have it on more regularly.
That would be awesome.
Well, at least we'll be sending you some questions, get the chop shop still our inside track. Any information you need to disseminate, you can send along, and we'll try and keep as much Pat in the show as possible.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, perfect. Well, from Dead Zone the Podcast, I've been Rob.
And I'm Jack.
And I'm Pat.
And thanks for listening, and we'll be back soon for some more Dead Zone.
Thank you for listening to the Dead Zone Podcast. I have been your announcer, William Randolph Wintergreen. Visit the website, deadzonegame.podbean.com. Email your hosts at deadzonepodcast@gmail.com. On Twitter, you can follow the show at Dead Zone Podcast. The Dead Zone Podcast is a production of Vinland Old Time Radio Productions. You have been listening to the Dead Zone Podcast. And now, a word from the fine folks at Vinland Old Time Radio.
You think this is funny? Oh, you don't?
Oh.
Then maybe you'll find Vinland Old Time Radio more of your liking.
More of your liking indeed, Rob.
VinlandOldTimeRadio.podbean.com. It's where the funny lives.